Well, it's 6:30. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Republic Prayer Call for January 27th, 2025. My name is Chaplain Robert Zuluaga, and I want to thank you all for coming and gathering together. It's exciting. We're in a really exciting time, a time of there's like an excited tension in the air. That we're expecting great things to happen. We're cautious, watching the tail of the dragon to make sure that we are strong in our prayer work, attuned to the Holy Spirit, and careful to stay under the covering of our Lord. So let's begin with a word of prayer this evening. Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you so much. Let's pause here. Let's get a couple of mutes going on. I think those are the two. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening. We're grateful for your presence. We're grateful that we can come together in a free country, able to worship you, to publicly proclaim your name. Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior. We unapologetically declare that. We thank you, Lord, for fulfilling your promise in the Word of God, that you sent your Son to be the lamb sacrifice one time for all of us. For we were unable to fulfill that covenant, fulfill that agreement through Adam. And you showed us that your love for us is greater than anything we can comprehend. So, Lord, we receive your grace. We receive your forgiveness. We receive your promise, your many promises in your word. And as we gather together here, Lord, we cast our cares from the week, cast our cares of concern. We each collect them along the way of life. So we come together in agreement to seek you with our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. And you are faithful to release your light, your love, your presence, your holiness, your Holy Spirit upon us, that we know that we are hid in the cleft of a rock, that in your presence is a fullness of joy. So we give you praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. I want to start in Philippians. So if you have your Bible, we're going to go to Philippians 1. Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruit of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evidence to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. That confidence that Paul has it's so beautiful. We have a boldness that gives us the ability to speak into the teeth of fear, into the teeth of danger, that confidence that we carry, that we know the hosts of heaven are aligned to us, there to support us, and there to do the bidding of the Father God, to do the bidding of his angel armies who go before us in battle. You know, I've been pondering something. Maybe you guys have too. It's really, we are in such an exciting time in American history. You know, I heard a comment the other day. Of course, it was a few days ago. It was Donald Trump has done more in 4 days than Joe Biden has done in 4 years. I mean, he's just one after another after another. He has a sense of confidence and purpose, intensity that is so different than his first term. He knows the lay of the land. He knows what he wants to accomplish. He knows the people he's surrounded himself with. And it's thrilling. It's very thrilling to see that. You know, I was watching a little thing of him speaking to the World Economic Forum, and he did not pull any punches with these guys. And, you know, he called out Bank of America for, you know, not doing business with conservatives. And, you know, it's like you see these big, wealthy power brokers of the World Economic Forum being chastised like a child. And it's like, I don't know, I just found that to be really courageous and strong. And at the same time, we know, at least in my spirit, I know, that the devil knows his days are numbered. The devil knows that he is a loser. And if he doesn't know so, I'll tell him now, devil, you are a loser. And at the same time, we are at a time where we have to be careful. We have to be vigilant. We have to take our responsibility as warriors in the body of Christ to stand watch, because he will try to take out anyone and anything he can as he's going down. So it's very exciting to see what we've got in front of us. It's very exciting to see the hope we have again as a nation and as a people and as a world. As America goes, the rest of the world goes. So there's a great hope for us. But at the same time, there's also the need to be watchful, because the devil's got lots of tricks up his sleeve that he could try to pull to destabilize things, to create chaos, to create confusion, to distract us from our purpose. So I'm encouraging us all to be prayerful of that as you open your eyes and get ready to put your feet on the floor, whether it's warm like over there in Montana or cool like over here in Colorado. Just pray that God alerts you that you are that willing vessel for him in your sphere of influence where you are in the day that as you greet the day. There is, I'm just excited. You know, listening to the prophets, you hear that as well. You know, some prophets are saying, don't just sit back and say, oh, great, everything's good. You know, be alert, be aware, be awake. It's time to wake up. It's time to be bold. Like Paul is, it's time to be bold at this time we're in, to speak our truth, speak it lovingly, speak it clearly, and recognize that we've got the hosts of heaven on our side. It's a good time. This is an excellent time to advance the kingdom of God on so many levels. We each come from a different discipline of Christianity. I'd like to prefer to think that I'm of the discipline of Christianity that bases what I believe and what I follow on the Word of God, not the Word of man, but the Word of God. Doesn't mean he doesn't have prophets who are his spokespersons, but some in the line of divide in the church is becoming clear. At least it's becoming clear to me. You know, there's that which is the I'll call it the woke church. What do they call it? The big churches that speak the seeker-friendly Bible or speaker-friendly word, which doesn't have any substance and meat to it, which is all feels good. Oh, you know, so glad you come and join us. And it doesn't drill down into the power of the Word of God. And then there's that part of the body of Christ which is strong and so bold that they're offensive to people. And, you know, like I'd say it's like the old school where it's like a turn or burn. And, you know, that has its place, but that doesn't necessarily help somebody have a an intimate relationship with a God who loves us. And so, you know, threat doesn't really, it's not a very constructive way to bring somebody into the into a relationship with a living God. So that's, you know, what I'm trying to communicate here is that I think we're in a very exciting time, where it's a time to be vigilant and excitedly expectant. The word from us from the Hebraic calendar really kind of goes along with this. And I'd like to take a moment and read that. We are in the last of the Hebraic calendar, the months of Tevet. That's T-E-V-E-T, 27. 5785. For those of you who are new on the call, you can find a copy of the most recent Hebraic calendar on the Republic website. So if you go to Republic for the United States of America.org, there's tabs across the top of the page. If you click on the one that says Divine Providence, you will see there is a picture of myself. There's the call details. Then there's some different links from Steve Lustra. And then there's scriptures for the healing of nations. So if you go to that, there's a picture of a calendar there. Click on that and you can download the calendar for the month. I haven't talked to Wade this month, so I don't know how he's going in preparation for the next calendar. We're at the tail end of this calendar of Tevet. But today's offering is entitled Transitioning from Lodabar to the King's Table. And it's written by a British Columbia Canadian. Her name is Rosangela Ate. At the appointed time, it will not tarry. And she's going into the story of Mephibosheth. And if you don't know, Mephibosheth was the son of Jonathan. So you have King Saul. King Saul's son was Jonathan. Jonathan's son was Mephibosheth. So you remember both King Saul and Jonathan were both killed in battle. Well, as they were attacking his residence, the maid, or the, what do you call it? Yeah, she's a maid, picked up Mephibosheth, who was just a kid at the time, and as she was running with him, dropped him and broke his legs, and he was permanently disabled. So that's the story behind it. And she combines it with the line out of Habakkuk 2:3, which talks about having a vision and writing it down. So that's the background. Here's the story. The story of Mephibosheth was, who was the son of Jonathan, and the passage in Habakkuk 2:3 have been resounding in my spirit for a few weeks now. I asked the Lord, what do these two passages have in common, Lord? What are you trying to tell me? He said, Mephibosheth was Jonathan's son and Saul's grandson, therefore heir to the throne. Although he was never able to succeed to the throne, everything that belonged to his grandfather, Saul, was restored to him by my chosen king, David. You see, Mephibosheth never thought in a million years that he would have anything more than, he would be anything more than a crippled, powerless man. He had resigned to living the rest of his days without any recognition. He thought that he had... Who have I got here who's chatting away on the call? Can you... There it is. Jane, I'm going to mute you, Jane. And come back to the story. He never thought he would... He was resigned to live the rest of his days without recognition. He thought that he had been dealt a bad card in life, and that's how it was going to be forever. His soul was deeply afflicted. He not only lost his father and grandfather on the same day, but he was left crippled when his nurse dropped him as she was fleeing the palace, and in the process, he had lost his inheritance and his identity. His heart was sick because of hope deferred, living his days in obscurity, completely dependent on another man's charity to survive. But the day came that, at the appointed time, I used my servant David to restore to him everything he had lost. He spent the rest of his days eating at the king's table as one of the king's sons. See 2 Samuel 9, 2-11. He went from obscurity to being seen and celebrated for who he really was, the son of the king. He took back his inheritance and his identity. My child, though the visions and the promises seem to be lost, delayed, and expired, I'm telling you that those dry bones can live again. I am watching over my word to perform it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. From Habakkuk 2:3 from the New King James. Everything is about to change. Daughter, you're on the cusp. You're on the verge. You've reached the apex. Don't give up now. Everything is about to change. I answered, Lord, I've been believing and standing on your promises for such a long time. It seems as if instead of getting closer, they seem further away. I keep getting older, and those dreams and visions seem to be fading away, becoming just a distant memory and another wrinkled page in my book of unfulfilled dreams. I want to believe, but I don't know if my heart can take more disappointment. I think I'm feeling like Mephibosheth felt. I'm experiencing what your word says in Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Do I dare believe? He answered, what about the second part of that verse, which says, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Do you think I want you to remain in a state of hope deferred? Do you think I want to give you the desires of your heart? My answer sounded more like a question. You want to give me the desires of my heart? God said, why do you question it? Are my promises not enough? Haven't I said that if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted? I answered, yes, Lord, you did say that. Forgive me. I believe. Lord, I believe you're going to do what you said you would. I just have to continue to abide in you, believe, and wait expectantly. Then God said, I'm telling you that my people are on the cusp of fulfilled promises. They're going from hope deferred to being filled with new life, from feeling stagnant to feeling vibrant and alive. They're entering into the appointed time. Though it seems to be delaying, it will not tarry. It will come at the perfect time. Culmination is the next chapter of your life. You were faithful to my instructions. You wrote the visions and promises down, and you spent years praying over them, believing that I would bring them to pass. Now it is the time in which you will see them manifest in your life. For two-dimensional words on the page to real life, tangible manifestations. Don't give up now. You are steps away from reaching the point of manifestation. Culmination is the next chapter in your life. So many of you are ready to throw in the towel for fear of being disappointed, and because you're so tired of waiting and fighting. But I'm telling you that your greatest victory is just on the other side of Lodabar. I know everything looks dead and dry, and you're about to give up on those dreams and toss them aside. Just like the body of the man that was tossed into Elisha's grave came alive as soon as it touched Elisha's bones. I will cause your dreams to come alive just as you are ready to discard them, as I speak my words of life over them. Time doesn't tarnish or diminish the effectiveness or the importance of those promises. They are just as powerful and essential as the first day I spoke them to you. Do not doubt, my child. You are coming out of your Lodabar season and into your promised land. Lodabar means no pasture or nothing, per Strong's concordance. The phrase on the cusp means at the point when something is about to change to something else. That's the definition out of Merriam-Webster. The expression on the verge of means at the point when something is about to happen or is very likely to happen. Again, from Merriam-Webster. The word apex is defined as the uppermost point, the highest or culminating point, Merriam-Webster. The word climax means the point of highest dramatic tension or a major turning point in the action, Merriam-Webster. The word culminate means to reach the highest or the climactic or decisive point, Merriam-Webster. So from 2 Kings 13:21, the word says, "So it was, as they were burying the man, that suddenly they spied a band of raiders, and they put the man in the tomb of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood on his feet." Out of Isaiah 43:19, "Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." John 15:7, "But if you remain in me and my word remains in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted." And out of Proverbs, finally, Proverbs 13:12, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life." So that's the word for today from the calendar. You know, it's a good word. And yet there's the other part of us that is like, oh my goodness, such exciting things are happening. So the encouragement is dare to believe what God's put in your heart. Dare to believe what he's promised you. You know, I was meditating on a mountain in Tasmania, Australia. My father bought 175 acres up on a mountain. He wanted to retire on it and develop a strawberry farm and a potato farm. And anyway, he passed away before any of that could happen. So I was going up there. I was, you know, pondering what the next step in my life was. So I'm up there and there's a little fern grove there and I was praying and meditating. And I felt the word of God speak to my heart. And he says, "Go home. Your country needs you." That was, my goodness, what's 85, 95, 2005, 15, 25. That was 40 years ago. 40 years ago, God called me to come home because my country needed me. Many, many, many years passed before I got my first, my follow-up word from the Lord on that. It was about the 25-year mark, and I was in Phoenix, Arizona. And he just said one word to me. So 25 years, I'm waiting, right? Go home, your country needs you. What do you want me to do, Lord? You know, so he gave me one other word. I'm not going to share that one on the call, but consistent with it. And I was at I was doing work, and a notice came over the radio to that a guy by the name of Tom DeLay was in Phoenix, and he was going to speak at this Italian cultural center. I'm going, oh, that's two blocks from my house. I'm going to go to that, right? I walk in the door, and Tom DeLay was a political. He was the House Whip back in the day, and he got unceremoniously removed by the liberals. And he prays to God. He says, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do with my skill set? And he felt God said to him, I want you to develop grassroots organization in swing states. Well, Arizona was one of those swing states. So I walk in the door to this meeting, and I hear the voice of the Lord say, now. That's all he said. He just said, now. My brain, my spirit, whatever you call it, quickened immediately. I said, wow, that's the word. And he said, your country needs you. He says, now. And anyway, it's a great testimony what he did in my life there. I joined Tom's organization. They had a vacancy on the board. I came in as the vice president for his chapter. Within 2 weeks, the chapter chair, she was the assistant to the attorney general for Arizona. She called me. She says, Robert, I've got a conflict of interest. I need to resign immediately. So within 2 weeks of God saying now, I get appointed as the president for Tom DeLay's Coalition for a Conservative Majority. So I say that in terms of hope deferred. You know, 25 years is a long time to wait for the next word. I'm not saying there wasn't lots of preparation and things in the meantime. I won't go into that, but I just say it to reinforce what Rosangela is saying here, that stay true to what God's put in your heart, and now's the time to be bold with it. All right, well, I want to go to, because we haven't heard from her since she came back from Washington, D.C. If she's on here, Sally, I'd like to welcome you to the floor. I'd like you to share, if you would, whatever God's got on your heart from your travels and what he's put on your heart for now.
Thank you. It's interesting because I was just on the Capitol Hill Prayer Partners call. They were asking me to do the same thing. So I have two phones going here at the same time. So I've just muted out that one so you don't hear them talking. It was exciting, thrilling, very patriotic, very emotional, joyful, declarative, lots of declarations all at the same time. I had an unusual thing at the last minute. This friend from church here in Buffalo offered to drive me to Billings. I flew out of Billings, and I was going to go up there Saturday night, wait till 4 in the morning, go to the airport and catch the plane at 6. He said, well, that's really risky, so I want to drive you up there. So he drove me up Saturday night, bought me a hotel room, and made sure it had a shuttle, and it took me to the airport at 4 in the morning to catch the plane. So all my control issues were up, to give up control of driving 3 hours and all that. But anyway, he escorted me up there, got on the plane, flew to D.C., and I arrived in Dulles, which is out in Virginia. It's the farthest airport away from the city. And it's now not D.C. anymore. It's Washington City, or the City of Washington. They've changed the name. So they're getting rid of the Freemasonry stuff as we speak. So I discovered there's a metro train, and I took the metro in from Dulles into Washington City. It's over an hour train ride to get in there, and I figured out where the tent was. I was ministering at David's tent, which is a worship tent. They've been doing worship in Washington City for over 10 years, worshiping the Lord and declaring God's word. So I got off at Foggy Bottom Station and then walked to where the tent is. So it's 20 blocks. I was walking in the snow and slick. I slid a few times, but I didn't fall down. Praise the Lord. So for a town girl in Buffalo, there's two traffic lights and 5,000 people. And going to D.C. and taking a metro and then finding which station to get off at and walking to the tent. that felt like an accomplishment to me to find my way there. And it was very overcast. Usually I'd look for the Washington Monument, but it was so overcast and heavy snow falling, I couldn't even see the Washington Monument. So it was very snowy as I came in there. But I did find a tent. And Sean Foyt is a worship leader. He does prophetic worship. He's done it around the country. He's gone to all the state capitals and worshiped over the capitals. He was due to do a concert that night in a church. And at the last minute, they discovered it wasn't, his connections weren't working, so he had to change his venue. So he changed it to David's tent. And they came in there, and it was so cold. There's a difference between humid cold and dry cold. And we had a heater in the small part of the tent where the worship leaders were. And they came in and said, you know, we're restricted because of the chairs. If you want to let the other crowd in, we need to give up our chairs. So we folded up all the chairs and opened up the middle partition of the tent. And that allowed about 500 people to come in there. So standing room only. And Sean came in with his instruments and they started singing. And it was packed. I'm guessing the crowd was 500. I don't know if the tent could hold more than that, but standing room only. And then he served communion, and he said, I don't know about you, but I do it on my knees. So the whole crowd was on their knees taking communion. Very powerful time. And I got to watch the inauguration on a TV. I was in the prayer tower. There's another team that does prayer in D.C., and got to watch it from there. I didn't get into the rotunda. They changed the agenda. I was supposed to be in the big arena, but the weather and I'm sure security prevented them, so they moved it into the rotunda, the Capitol. So all of us were there in the prayer tower watching the inauguration. It was so emotional. I was crying, just overjoyed and crying at the same time. Just so powerful, all the declarations that he made during the inauguration and the things that's happened since then. And he pardoned the J6 prisoners. So that night, one lady, the 65-year-old grandmother or 70-year-old grandmother, was released. And so the next day, I went there with Maureen. She's the head of the prayer call. And we were standing outside the gulag.
Excuse me, Sally. We lost you for when you said that it was tearful and he did declarations, and then we lost you for a while. Can you recover and go back there?
It was just so powerful, all the things he was sharing. And then he pardoned the J6 prisoners. He pardoned the political prisoners. And he let go. One lady was released that night, a 70-year-old grandmother. She was released that night, but the next day, still a lot of them hadn't gotten out of there. And David Clements is an attorney. He's been keeping track of the J6 prisoners all along. And we saw him out front, and he said there was still 20 inside that needed to be released. So we stood there in the cold for 3 hours. Keep saying, oh, let him go, let him get out. And there was a lot of reporters, a lot of people there, lots of people outside. And finally we realized that the Capitol Police were not releasing them. So we thought, well, let's call our representative. So I called my senators and my representative and said, tell the Capitol Police to do their job. They need to release these prisoners. They've been pardoned. And after 3 hours, it was so cold. It was probably zero when I left here in Wyoming. Got to D.C., and it was 10 degrees, and sometimes it dropped down to zero, but it felt like 20 below. There's a big difference between humid cold and dry cold, and 3 hours is all I could stand. My fingers felt like they were going to fall off. So we left and went to the prayer tower and just waited there. But at 3 o'clock, Trump said a federal marshal said, honor the pardon that I've done. So the federal marshal insisted that they release the prisoners. So a big chunk of them were released at that point. But we still hadn't heard, did they connect with their families? There was still this gap. And Friday night on our Shabbat call with the prayer call I'm on, the 24/7, a man named Dominic confessed that he was part of the gulag. He was one of the prisoners. They loaded up him and three other guys. So four men were put into a van, and they smuggled them out of the gulag and took them to a prison in Kentucky. So they're still in prison. They're in horrific conditions there. They're the newest people into the cell. There's like 10 men in a cell. So there's no place to sleep. There's no beds, no mats. They're just sleeping on the cold floor. I think they have one blanket. He said they couldn't take anything with them. They couldn't even take a toothbrush. So four men are still not released. They're in a prison in Kentucky. And I'm praying that Trump will hear about this and the powers that be, and that they'll correct whatever happened there with the gulag, because they've been so corrupt in how they treated the prisoners. So those four that we know of that have not been released, they're still in a prison in Kentucky. But it was powerful for me when we were standing outside the gulag, lots of shouting and things, and I was standing with Maureen, the head of the call, and when things would get chaotic, somebody'd walk by and start mouthing off something, we'd sing patriotic songs. We sang Battle Hymn of the Republic and Star Spangled Banner. And when we did that, the atmosphere would change right where we were standing. And reporters and cameramen were running over there and taking pictures of us singing songs. But it really quieted the crowd where we were. It calmed things down. It was just a hands-on, very, very concrete example of the Lord's presence changing when it could be pretty chaotic. And the rest of the time I was in David's tent doing worship, leading worship, and being part of that team. That's very powerful to be in the presence of other worshipers, just worshiping and reading God's word. And the last night I was there, we got to go to ACPR, that's American Center for Prayer and Revival. And it's right next to Liberty Council, where Matt Staver has. He's one of the attorneys that's led a lot of the legal things for different cases. Right next door is ACPR. And it's originally Dick Simmons' house. If you know Dick Simmons, he was very instrumental in prayer, starting so many prayer things. David Wilkerson's ministry, he birthed that with intercession. And Lauren Cunningham and the YWAM movement, so many things were birthed through Dick Simmons' intercession. So that's where the ACPR headquarters is, where we're praying. And now that's where David's tent prays from, that that complex of rooms. It's a condo there in D.C. So I got to lead that prayer call that night from 11 at night till 5 in the morning, the last night I was there in D.C. And wow, very powerful to be overlooking the Capitol and the back of the Supreme Court and declaring God's word over the city when we were there. So I was just very grateful I got to go, grateful to meet up with the other people I've been praying with for the last 8 years. You get acquainted with a voice, like I could tell right away, talking now, that I recognize your voice because I hear you so many times on the call. You get to know someone's voice, but when you get to meet them in person, it's like a family reunion. It's just so rich when you meet the face that goes with the voice. And I met a few more people there in the prayer tower that I'd been praying with for the last 8 years. So that was very meaningful. And then I got a safe ride back to the airport and safe ride back to Billings. And then when I got there, the roads were closed back to Buffalo, so I had to wait the next night. And then Sandy, the wife that took me up there, she brought me back on Thursday, and I was back in time to go to work. So I'm back to life as I knew it 10 days ago. But
Wow. What a great, great testimony. Would you be willing to release a prayer or declaration over these four prisoners that are unjustly being held in Kentucky?
Yes. Lord, we just cry out for your justice and your mercy for Dominic. And I don't know the other names of the men, but we cry out for their protection, Lord. We pray for the spirit of the fear of the Lord to be on all the guards and those inmates around them, that no harm will come to them. And I pray that mass salvation will happen, just like popcorn that is there in the presence of these gulag prisoners, that they will come to know the Lord. They will be touched and cry out to you. There's something different about these men. We pray for mass revival through the prison system, through all of them, Lord. We pray for mass revival in our nation, and we cry out for your mercy to set these men free. We cry out for your mercy for Tina Peters, for these that have been held unjustly for too long, way too long, Lord. Set them free. Set your people free in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray your bubble of protection over President Trump, over all the Trump family, over J.D. Vance and all these new people coming in. Keep them safe and allow your justice, allow your righteousness to come forward. I do pray for a bubble of protection over Donald Trump, J.D. Vance, over Tom Holman, Pete Hegseth, RFK, Doug Collins, Elon Musk, Pam Bondi, John Ratcliffe, Carrie Lake, Tulsi Gabbard, Kristi Noem, Dan Scavino, Lee Zeldin, Mike Johnson, Kash Patel, the Supreme Court and the appellate courts, all the cabinet members, all the transition team, over Susie Wells, Taylor Budowich, Stephen Miller, Todd Blanche, your protective bubble over all of them, Lord. Allow your justice and mercy and your righteousness to flow in our nation. We thank you for what has been done and what is being done. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, Sally, what an experience of a lifetime. That's just thrilling. Question I have for you is, Carrie Lake, is she part of Trump's cabinet now? I have not heard the updates on her.
She's been asked to be the press. He's asking her to clean up the press and to give honorable presentation. So I don't know if she's been approved yet, but that's what he's asked her to do, is be the key press person to speak the truth through the press.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's right down her wheelhouse. She knows how to do that
exactly.
Very well.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Great.
So I don't know if she's been approved yet, but most of them that I read have been. We're still waiting on Kash Patel and RFK. I pray for a quick turnaround. But Pete Hegseth was approved, I believe, last night. So he is going to turn around our military.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, you're quite the prayer warrior. I just really thank you for your testimony and your faithfulness on the other call that you're on, and your blessing to, in addition to our call. So God bless you, Sally. Thank you so much. If anybody has any questions for Sally that they want to ask, feel free to unmute yourself, give your name, and go ahead and ask her. Oh, I'm sorry. I better unmute some of you who I muted. So hold on.
And just a reminder, I'm on the prayer call tonight at 3 a.m. Eastern time, tonight and tomorrow. So I'd love to have some company on that call, so I'm not singing to the elevator music. Bless you.
So when you say 3 o'clock, will you please give the time zone that is, Sally?
It's Eastern, 3 a.m. Eastern is when I'm on the prayer call.
So for in your time frame, that's really 1 a.m., right?
Right, 1 a.m. Mountain Time.
Mountain Time.
If you're wondering the call and how to connect, look at 247nationalstrategicprayercall.com and look up the closest recent post.
This is Debbie Sharp.
Hi, Debbie.
A question I have for you, Sally. Did you personally or the people around you personally have any concerns about security?
No, I felt safer this time than I ever have. So there was a difference in the atmosphere. Before I went, you know how you think about stuff, I was worried about, oh, do I dare to get on the subway? Do I dare? But when I got there, I felt safe. There was a different atmosphere all around there. It was different. And our team, because I was helping the Montana team and then the Idaho team at David's tent, we take turns. Each state takes a week of working in David's tent. So the first week was Montana's week, and then I arrived on Sunday, and that was the start of Idaho's week. So Tommy was our leader, and she said, don't go off alone. Always go in the team. So as we went out the tent for doing something, she said, take somebody with you. So we always in groups of two or better, four. So we traveled in groups. But it was so cold. The biggest struggle for me was the cold. Because when I left here, it was zero, and I'm pretty used to zero. But there, 10 degrees felt like 20 below. Just the difference of the moist cold, it just drives through you. It was so cold.
Well, I know that the president's been invited to speak before Congress.
Pardon?
On March the 6th.
March the 6th? Wait a minute. We're in January.
I understand. But this okay. is before the both houses of Congress, invited by Tim, the Speaker of the House. That just scares me. That is a sitting, that's a spot of, someone could blow that whole thing up.
I don't understand what you're trying to say. Try saying it again.
Our president is going to be in front of the House and the Senate talking. That venue, that everyone in that same spot, that scares me for security reasons. And I was just wondering, any thoughts about that?
I know that he's going to be speaking at the Women's March. I believe that's this weekend. Both Trump and J.D. Vance are going to be there. And that's a high security. But I was seeing this little blog that he's hired a new bodyguard, and they're really going through their paces. And I really believe that's why they changed the venue. I mean, it was cold things, but I think it was for security reasons that they did not have the parade and they did not have the meeting in the auditorium, but they went to the rotunda. I think it was for security reasons mainly that's the change that was made.
Well, I think you're absolutely correct. So, Sally, I want to go back, circle around to something you said, and I heard you say that you would like support at 3 a.m. Eastern Time on Thursday. Is that correct?
Tonight, this morning, in a few hours.
Oh, this morning. Okay, so that's Tuesday.
Yeah, this morning, this coming morning, Tuesday morning and Wednesday morning at 3 a.m., I would love to have company on the call.
Very good. Okay, so that is, depending on your time zone, it's 3 a.m. Eastern. And you're on for 1 hour, is that correct?
Correct. Okay. I lead the call at 1 hour, 3 a.m. Eastern.
Okay, very good. Tuesday. And is that every Tuesday and Wednesday?
Right now, yes, sir. I'm subbing those. I've been subbing for over a year. I'm praying that somebody would come along and full-time and cover it, but so far that hasn't happened, so I keep on subbing.
All right, so we're putting it out there to the call to all of you. If you are up in the middle of the night or could set your alarm to be up for 1 hour, Sally's asking for help tomorrow morning and Wednesday morning.
Tuesday morning and Wednesday morning, 3 a.m.
Very good. Well, thank you, dear. We're going to move on. Appreciate you. That's just awesome. All right. So, Bruce Dietler, sir, the week that is, what is the Lord saying to you?
Well, the week that is mighty good. Good things happening all around. There was a Elijah streams today, Johnny Enlow, and he went through all of the, well, I don't know all, but a whole slew of the executive orders that our President Trump has initiated this week, and just one thing after another, after another, after another, overturning the darkness and bringing light back into the nation. And I heard, read something today that he has in this past week done over 350 executive orders, which is huge. Anyway, what the, you know, the my thought is, you know, the Lord is turning darkness into light, and he's using the man. And, you know, he's only a man, but he is God's instrument at this point in this season. And the scripture that came to mind was Jeremiah 1:10. And Jeremiah says, see, actually, it's the Lord speaking, see, I have set thee this day over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, then to build and to plant. But before you can build and before you got to you get to the planting season, you have to till the soil. You have to tear down, pull down, throw down, destroy all the rot that is there in the way. And that is what is happening now. It was interesting in the events with Colombia today that they refused to take a load of individuals who were being deported from the U.S. on a military cargo plane. They refused to accept them. And so Trump, in his own inimitable New York fashion, said, well, okay, 25% tariffs this week, 50% tariffs on all your goods next week, and fine, so be it. And 10 minutes later, it turned around, and the president has now to accept the individuals. Not only that, the president is sending his personal airplane to pick them up so they are treated magnificently rather than as deportees.
I hadn't heard the result, Bruce. That is awesome. 10 minutes, he capitulated, huh?
in 10 minutes.
Wow.
Anyway, so the Democrats are naturally, you know, castigating him for his the way he's treating our good allies, and this is not the way, you know, it could have just been done with a phone call. Yeah, but it got results. So anyway, good things are happening in that regard. And, you know, as the scripture said, the Lord has put his words in Donald Trump's mouth. We may not like the way it comes out necessarily with his with the color that he slants some of his words with, but God is using the man mightily. We need to continue to lift him up in prayer, and all of those who are being placed in positions of responsibility, that in fact the directives, the executive orders are being carried out. Another good thing that happened, Trump fired 17 inspectors general over various agencies in the nation's capital. And according to a law that was passed in 2022, he cannot do that without giving 30 days notice and specific reasons. And so the Democrats are hopping all over him for that breach of the law, et cetera, et cetera. But the problem with that is that Barack Obama did exactly the same thing in 2009 in firing an inspector general. So there is no recourse for any of them, and it's getting hilarious what's going on. But God is doing good things. The Lord is in control, and we win. Glory to God.
Praise God. Well, Bruce, I would like you to pray into the transition from doing something which is not our form of government, which is this, I mean, it's wonderful, 350 executive orders, but they do need to be followed up by legislation in the House and the Senate for them to last. So I'd like you to pray into that, if you would, please.
Right. Father, we thank you for the mighty work that you've begun, are doing, and yet desire and shall do, Father, through your chosen vessels. Father God, that these executive's orders, orders which are from your heart, Father God, those that you are establishing, that they would be established in law through the House and the Senate and appropriate measures, that it be something that cannot be overturned by the next individual who comes along with the wrong spirit. We thank you, Father God, that you're moving mountains, you're doing mighty things, your word is going forth with power and authority. It is changing lives, it is changing this nation for the glory of God and for your honor and your glory. We thank you for that, Father. We set our hearts in agreement that your glory shall be manifested mightily in this nation, in the name of your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Wow. Good stuff's happening. Okay, I'm going to open the floor for anyone who has a praise report or a prayer request or a prayer they would like to lift up. Just going to let you free flow on that. The floor is open.
Hi, could I ask a question?
Well, the floor is open. Yes, sir.
Okay, this is Andy down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
And, hi,
I just needed to know what is the code number for these callbacks, you know, to listen to the prayer call and the House of Representatives calls. There's no the code for that.
At this point, well, so firstly, Andy, let's answer your first question. For this call, you go to republicfortheunitedstatesofamerica.org. You click on the Divine Providence tab, and I'll give it to you, but I'm just telling you where you'll find it, right? And there is all of the calls are posted. So if you click on the Divine Providence tab and go to the next tab, it says, or under it, it says prayer calls. If you click on the prayer calls, John Rockwell downloads all the calls right after we've done them. So you will see it on as a recording right there. And it's an MP3 file. You can either download it or listen to it right there.
Are you talking about the archive prayer calls?
That's exactly what I'm talking about, yes.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking at it.
Okay. Now, as far as the House and the Senate, that is, they do not yet have a quorum, although tonight, just before our call, I did listen to part of the Senate call. I see it was being recorded, and the Senate is getting to the point where they do have a quorum, and they were just instructed by the president to elect a president of the Senate and amongst themselves, and to start getting their rules of how they're going to, the rules of procedure, not necessarily Robert's rules of procedure, but the rules of the Senate, how the Senate's going to conduct itself. So I would say that's a real exciting tipping point for the Republic, that we're starting to now have the ability to record our Senate calls. I would bring Mark Binder on to give us a report on the House. So, Mark, would you like to speak into the House business?
Well, the House of Representatives has their gallery recordings, and they're also on republicfortheunitedstatesofamerica.org website. And if you go to the far right pull-down tab, Interim Records, and you go down to Legislative, and you go over, there's a House gallery call. You can click on that. And we have archive calls that go way back to 2017. So every one of our calls, which is about every 2 weeks, is recorded and archived. So you can go back and listen to those if you like. And we've recently been going over the confirmation of claim and interest, and we just started the DSI last week.
Okay, super. Okay, thanks a lot.
You betcha.
Well, Mark, yeah, I'm Mark, I'm excited to see that because you had talked about Dr. Mosley and his laws of life. So I'm guessing that we can review all of those teachings right there. Is that right?
Absolutely. You sure can. He's not on every time, but he's on most of the times.
Awesome. 4 or 5 years. Okay. Very cool. A little more casual listening with all the other things I got going on. Awesome.
Yep, the teaching thing. We also do a little house business is about all we can do, you know, make a few house decisions. But it's there for everybody to learn from.
So, Mark, what's God put on your heart this evening? What's he showing you through your eyes?
Well, I got a prayer. If it's time for that.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yahweh, our eternal Father, we humbly come before you in the name of Yeshua to pray for this nation that we love, America. So, Father, we lift up Donald Trump and his family and his cabinet who have been relentless in fighting the Babylonian government that has usurped our rightful representative republic, government by cunning, ambitious, and unprincipled men and women for far too long. And although their evil house of cards is falling, we pray for cover for those who are in the crossfire of the storm of retribution. Our focus is firmly on your plan to eradicate evil from among all Americans, as there is no higher power than you, Father. Help us to walk out this time by faith and not by sight, knowing that you will never leave us or forsake us, and that you are the same yesterday as you are today, as you will be tomorrow, and your word is pure proof. As your word plainly tells us in Habakkuk's prayer, and that's chapter 3, verse 12 through 14, quote, this is God speaking, You marched across the land in awesome anger and trampled down the nations in your wrath. You went out to save your chosen people. You crushed the head of the wicked and laid bare his bones from head to toe. You destroyed with their own weapons those who came out like a whirlwind, thinking Israel would be an easy prey. And of course, that's the descendants of the house of Jacob or the house of Israel. So thank you. For that word of encouragement, Father, let us focus on your word and leave the babble and confusion to the world's people that have chosen to receive strong delusion instead of the truth. So we say, God save the children, God save the republic, God save America, Canada, and the descendants of the 12 tribes of Israel. And anything short of a republic is a compromise to the American people until your kingdom returns here on earth. We thank you, Father, we worship you, we praise you, and we give you all the credit. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Would you consider pondering communion and preparing communion here in a little while?
Absolutely, I could do that.
Okay, very good. I'll call on you in a little while.
Okay,
anyone else? Open line, anyone else have something on their heart they'd like to share? Floor is open.
This is Interim Governor Alyssa Buonarroto Reggi from New Jersey, New Jersey Free State, I should say.
Hi, Alyssa.
Hi. I'm sorry that I'm late getting into the meeting. Our 7 o'clock meeting here in New Jersey seems to keep going over like 90 minutes to 2 hours, which is not a bad thing. I'm glad that people are engaged. But I just really ask that you keep New Jersey in your prayers because we've gone through a lot here in New Jersey. Just because we had a former governor and then some things happened with her. And there are some people in the New Jersey Free State who are just, I think, still struggling with changes. And, I just want I want everyone to be in the Republic for the right reason so that we can work together collaboratively in good spirit, in good faith, being authentic, and all working toward the same goal, which is to free our state and free our country.
Amen.
That's our prayers for that.
I will pray for that. I want to give you a testimony before I do, if I can, about your garden state.
Mm-hmm.
I know a couple there who raised their children in homeschooling, and they trained them in Christianity. And mm-hmm. the one of the daughters went off and got into just a really problematic lifestyle. She became a psychologist and started getting involved in covens and witchcraft and things like this. So just before Hurricane Helene, she was living in Asheville, North Carolina. Now, I don't know if people know this, but the hub of Satanism and sacrifice, satanic sacrifice, is Asheville, North Carolina. And you can Google it if you doubt me, but there's great reports out of... Barbara, I'm going to mute you just for a minute here. Anyway, you can Google it and read all of the stories about it. It's pretty alarming, actually. But anyway, so just before Hurricane Helene, she felt, and she was totally into witchcraft and totally into all this nonsense, right? She sensed the voice of the Lord tell her to leave and to go home. So she's in her mid-30s. She obeyed. She went back to New Jersey. The storm hit, and so you saw the devastation. So God delivered her from that. But when she got back to New Jersey, she got delivered from witchcraft. And from what I know, she's going to give her testimony next weekend on that very thing. So I just want to thank you and the people in your state who are faithful, who are followers of Jesus, who are committed to for the right reasons. So I want to just encourage you that folks in your state are a calm in the storm. And, you know, God really rescued her out of something that could have been horrific. And thankfully, the training she had in her youth clicked in somewhere there, and she decided to respond to that voice. So praise God.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. So Heavenly Father, I just lift up Governor Fornato. Fornato. And her state, her great garden state of New Jersey. Lord, we just pray your peace. We speak your spirit of harmony and collaboration over the people who are involved in the Republic in New Jersey. Lord, we just thank you. You have already ordained those who you want to gather together. And we just speak life into those, quickening in the spirit of those who are meant to come together to collaborate, to grow the free state of New Jersey. And Lord, we just pray that those whose spirit isn't right, that you just stir them up and repel them, move them on to where you're calling them. They have an opportunity to grow in some other field that isn't this work. We just pray your incubation, pray your hand of custodial care, the resurrecting and the rediscovering of the principles of liberty that our nation comes from, the founding fathers. We stir up the memory of the founding fathers in New Jersey from those who are in New Jersey. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the leadership of Alicia. She's got such an enthusiasm about her on the calls I'm part of. She's got such an enthusiasm about her, Lord. So guide her by straight paths. Bring helpers along her way to raise her up like they did, like Aaron did to Moses. And we just thank you in advance, Lord, that you've got good in store for New Jersey, that you've got a breakthrough happening just as we talked on the call earlier. There's a breakthrough. Now's the time of breakthrough. It's not a time to give up. It's a time to press forward, to be bold, to seize the territory that the devil has taken. And we give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Amen. Anyone else have something they'd like to share? The floor is open.
This is Joycelyn in North Carolina.
Hi. I wanted
to let everyone know that our interim governor, Peggy Lloyd, is on the governor's call on Wednesday. She is going to be talking about her history, plus give us information on what's going on with Western North Carolina. She has a page on our website where you can give to the Republic so it will go to aid for Western North Carolina. She contends that if each Republic member gave $25, we'd have $2 million. But I just encourage everyone to go meet her on the governor's call and hear about all the fascinating things that she's done and what it means with the project that she and two of our governors put together for Western North Carolina.
Awesome. Well, I think her math's different than mine. I figure if we've got, 13,500 right now, and we times that by 25, that gives me about, I thought I had it, 337,500. But, hey, no, I'll go for the $2 million. I like that.
Well, it may be my math may be wrong, but we know that if we get the water filters there, they're gonna run out. They're gonna take all of that bad stuff out. We're gonna need water filters. We're gonna need millions of dollars for water filters for the next 10 years.
So, well, praise God, we've got 60 on the way. We just got report from the governor of New Hampshire that the materials have arrived, and they're ready now to build 60 water filters to ship over. That's I think it's going to take two trucks, you know, like one-ton pickups or two-ton pickups to get them there. But the thing that's missing, and you might like to pray into this, and that is getting a water testing lab to get accurate water tests from the different areas that are they're going to be delivered to, so that the filter is tailored specifically for the pollutants in that area. So if you want to pray that, Debbie, go ahead.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you for the Republic and the people on this call. And thank you for our chaplain and everyone here that is listening to my voice. I thank you for what you've given us for Western North Carolina. We appreciate all of it. And we want to cleanse the land for our Christ Jesus. We need to pray about all of it. The testing of the soil, the testing of the water, for it to be done correctly, for we to know that it is true. But after President Trump's visit, a lot of things are changing up there. So we pray for all of the new leaders. And I thank you for our governor, and I thank you for everything that Interim Governor Niles and Interim Governor Carpenter are doing with their tools, and that we'll pray for all of them. In the name of my Lord and Christ Jesus, amen.
Amen. Debbie, can I ask you one other question you might have an answer for?
Yet you can ask.
Well, I heard Trump say he's going to release $2 billion of money that was being used to pay for the cell phone and hotel rooms for illegals, that he's going to reappropriate that money towards the hurricane victims, the fire victims, et cetera. Do you know in North Carolina if he's doing that through FEMA, or is he doing it through the governor's office, or is there any specifics that you know of how those funds are coming to your state?
I do not know specifics, but what I did learn is that north of Asheville was where the Graham children, the Billy Graham children, were raised by their mother while their father went out and saved the rest of the world. And now Billy Graham's, everything he has now is in Charlotte, but that's why Samaritan's Purse has been so active up there. And I think that, I got the impression that's where Donald Trump sent his $24 million that he talked to. Samaritan's Purse is well regarded. So that's who people will give their money to in a heartbeat. No one is seeing anything come from the NGOs that the governor and our Republican legislature took 4 months to hold up. These are NGOs that say, well, we're going to build roads. And no one really knows. So I think it's Samaritan's Purse. because I've heard Governor Niles say he wishes we could get in there. He wishes we had. And that's why you see Franklin Graham next to the president when he was in North Carolina. So I don't know the specifics. I'm just giving you my hunches.
All right. We'll just pray into that. Thanks. Thank you, Debbie. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that Donald Trump has released federal funds to assist the West North Carolina folks. Lord, they have been in dire straits for a long time. We just thank you that he sees the ineffectiveness and the questionable behavior of FEMA. We thank you, Lord, that you are in a time right now where you are revealing the truth. You're letting that which has been done in secret be brought into the light. So we thank you. We come alongside your angels to cast light on the truth of what's going on with FEMA, not just in North Carolina, but across the country. We thank you, Lord, that you get these dollars to those folks who need it most, those folks who have a life and health issue, those folks who have lives have been destroyed. So we send your angels of compassion to go forth. We call for the warrior angels to go forth now and to break down the stonewalling like we've seen with the Capitol Police and the taking away of four J6ers. We just speak your angels to go forth now, warrior angels now, to expose this treachery, to expose the agenda behind the stonewalling of helping our fellow Americans in place of this nonsense of sending millions and billions of dollars to other nations for an agenda that's got nothing to do with America. We thank you, Lord. We expect to see it. We expect to see it in our news. We expect to see it in our notices. And we expect their whole power structure to be collapsed in Jesus' name.
If I may add, sir, he did do an executive order today. He's not abolishing FEMA. He's putting together a panel of people who are going to study it. What are we doing wrong? He still wants the power to go to the state, but I thought that was interesting that he's going to study it more.
Amen. We support that. Absolutely. Thank you, Debbie. All right, so on this call, for those of you who are new, we take communion together. So I would ask you to gather the elements, bread or crackers, wine or juice, as I bring Mark Binder to the floor to guide us in communion.
Thank you, Robert. All right, ladies and gentlemen, a little history and then some scripture, and then we'll get on with the communion service.
Advisor, this is what we believe that, you know, I have.
I'm sorry, Mark, go ahead.
Okay. Communion began on the annual celebration of Passover when Jesus told the disciples to remember him and his sacrifice as they ate the bread and drank the wine. Just as Israel celebrated the sacrifice of the Passover lamb, an angel of death passed over their homes. Believers in Jesus celebrate and remember his sacrifice for our sins when he gave his life on the cross. Holy Communion uses bread as a symbol of the body of Jesus and wine as a symbol of his blood. Communion serves as a solemn moment for believers to reflect on Jesus' sacrifice and express gratitude for the profound redemption and forgiveness of sins achieved through his crucifixion and resurrection. 1 John 1, verse 7 says, "But if we walk in light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin." Matthew 26:29 says, and this is Jesus speaking, "I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And 1 John 1:3 says, "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ." All right, we'll begin the Senior service now. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body. Please partake of the bread." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "Truly I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God." So please partake of the wine or the juice. And then 2 Corinthians 13:14 says, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So go in peace and serve the Lord." And that's it.
Thank you very much, brother.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
King
Thank you, Jesus. We are loving you. We are worshiping you. We give you praise, glory, and honor. And wow. You know, I don't know about each of you, but like Alicia was saying earlier, praying for collaboration and the right people to be in, gathered together in her state. We have this delicate balance to me that we have in the Republic. We are bearers of good news, but we also are dragon slayers. There's a lot in the illusion that we live in that are sacred cows of belief systems that our people in our country believe. We've been told the same story over and over. We have been lied to by our media. We have been deceived by our education systems. And yet, we are supposed to follow our King. You know, Philippians 4, verse 8 is classic of that. How do you call out the truth? How do you wait for God to deliver us, to expose it through the alternative media, to expose it through some of the things that are happening now with the Trump administration, and yet follow what Jesus says, or follow what the advice is in Philippians, should I say. And he says this, he says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The question is, how do we meditate on these things that are good, everything that's holy, lovely, of good report, and yet tell people the truth? Tell them the truth of the deception that we've been under for so long. And it seems to me that it's a prayerful place. I start a new 12-week class here in Colorado, teaching folks of the restoring of the covenant, restoring of the covenant in America. That covenant is God's covenant. And how do we restore that? How do we teach folks the truth and yet at the same time meditate on God's goodness? The class that I'll be teaching will talk about America's place in the history of the world since the time man first inhabited it through the flood and all the rest. And yet, you know, we have this idyllic idea that, yeah, America's a constitutional republic. You know, our founding fathers did all this wonderful work. Well, we're looking at it going, well, where is all that when we have this corporation dictating to us what is what's the way to go? What's the rules of the game, if you like, you know? So telling folks the truth and at the same time focusing on the good is a delicate balance. So as we conclude the call this week, I want you to ponder that. You know, you're called to be a good news bearer, but you're also called to tell folks the truth. And if you don't tell them the truth, who's going to do it? Who's going to tell the truth in love to our brothers and sisters throughout the country if we don't? Yes, we spend time in prayer. We have a sister, Sally, who's a great intercedes really well. And the question is, what's the balance in your life when you are called upon to be everything God's created you to be with full fire and enthusiasm and testimony for God's kingdom as a discipler of men, to go and make disciples of nations? How do we fulfill that in the balance between meditating on that which is good, that which is pure, that which is of good report, and calling out that which is a lie? Because if we're silent, you know, then we have a responsibility. The Old Testament tells us we have a responsibility. If you see your brother erring, then you need to call it out. You need to be the sentinel. You need to be the watchman on the wall. So I want you to ponder that as we go about this week And please feel free to come back next week with insights that God has given you. So, Brother Matthew, I would like you to close us out in a word of prayer and a song or tongues or whatever God gives you, brother. The floor is yours. Matthew, you have to unmute yourself. Matthew? Going once. Matthew going twice. Okay, Governor Jane Greenstein, you have the floor. Would you close us out in prayer?
Okay. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this republic and everybody on this call tonight. And one thing that came to mind tonight was when I heard that Jean Hertler is very ill, and also about Justice Waters, who is having surgery tomorrow, I believe. And a concern came to me about the possibility of black magic being used against them, mm-hmm. and maybe other leadership in the republic that have found themselves not feeling well recently, because they do not expect this type of thing to be coming against them. And I think that we need to cover them with the blood of Jesus Christ and the full armor of God every single day. The whole leadership, because the attacks that must be being sent against all of them must be enormous. Mm. Knowing the group that's behind the counterfeit government. And so I just pray that, Father, you will put a hedge of protection around all of them, legions of holy angels, above and below and all around them, so that no weapon formed against them will prosper, and any tongue that rises against them in judgment shall be condemned, that they will not be affected by anything coming from the evil spiritual realm that would hinder in any way the Republic for the United States of America, and that all of us, a whole, I don't know how many there are now, I think it's like 13,000, are protected in the same way, that we are shielded from the retaliation that they want to bring against us. And to, I just pray that you will give us all this wisdom about it and understanding, so that we make sure that the protective force that we need to have is around us at all times. And the protective force of the blood of Jesus Christ is the greatest one of all. So I just thank you for that, and I pray that everybody in the Republic will have a revelation on this and automatically want to each day do a prayer for everyone in the Republic and bring the presence of God into the entire group in order to make sure that we have the right people in every position, that these are people who are worshipers of God and who believe in Jesus Christ and want to see the Republic flourish under God's kingdom government. So I pray all of this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.